and welcome to the Dragons Unreal podcast. This is Pete Jones, and today's episode I'm going to be looking at Easy D6 by DM Scotty, which says it is a fast-moving game of fantasy mayhem. So what is Easy D6? Easy D6 is a rules-light game designed by DM Scotty, and it was designed for a game that you could play at conventions or around the table where there's no excessive bookkeeping. You don't have to keep referring to a rule book. It's quick and fast to play. It's fast, furious fun. Where have I heard that before? And it's noisy and a lot of fun. Doesn't take itself seriously, and the game centres on role playing, and everybody is there to have a good time without checking rules all the time. So does it deliver? Let's have a look. So the core mechanic in the game is rolling a d6 and beating a target number, where the difficulty is set by the GM, or as they called in this game, the Rabble Rouser, and it is 2 is easy, up to 6, which is super hard. Characters are defined by their special abilities, and what he didn't want to happen was a character sheet full of character stats where people are looking at the stats, but by people's training and their special abilities, to make it more fast flowing. So the way that does this, we have boons and banes, or if you think about it in D&D terms, advantage and disadvantage. So if you've got training in something, you get a boon, you get another d6. But it's not just 2d6, you could get 3, 4 or 5d6, and you roll how many dice you have got, and you take the highest number and compare it against the target number. So obviously the more dice you roll, the more chance you've got of beating your target number. And besides boons, you also have banes. For each bane, you remove a dice from your dice pool. If you ever get taken down to below one dice, then you roll 2 dice and take the lowest number. Your fellow adventurers can give you a hand by foregoing their action. They add a dice to your dice pool, and this is another way to add dice to your dice pool. If your highest dice is a 1, you have failed. 1 is always a failure. If you roll a 6 is always a success. And 6 is a handle slightly different when it comes to combat. Each player gets a hero die, and the hero die can be spent any time in the game to re-roll one dice. And this is the only way you can re-roll a dice that rolls a 1. The next thing you get is a pool of karma, and each player starts with 3 karma, and karma are spent by adding pips to your dice roll. For each karma you spend, you can add 1 pip to a dice roll. So if you rolled a 4 and added 2 karma to it, it would take it up to a 6. You get more karma during the game for excellent role playing, and importantly, every time you fail a roll, you get 1 karma, although you can only ever acquire 1 karma per turn, no matter how many failures you make. So karma is your currency, and you can also spend karma to take a dice roll up to a crit, which is really handy when it comes to combat. You cannot spend karma when you use magic or miracles, and you can never spend it on improving a 1 on a dice roll. There are 2 types of time. There is narrative time and action time. Narrative time is when you're in the role-playing section, and when action time is when you get into things like combat or when things are in a hurry, and each turn represents a few seconds of time. In your turn, you can take a move, a turn action, and a free action. Turn actions are things like attacking targets, casting spells, picking up a dropped weapon, arming a shield, disarming a trap, that sort of thing. Free actions are things that take moments, so it's like speaking to an enemy, taking a potion, drawing a weapon or sheathing a weapon, and using some inclinations. When it comes to movement, this is all very woolly. Distances are in combat, near, which is up to 30 feet, and far, which is 60 feet. So if you were to move and take an action, you can move up to 30 feet and take an action. If you move greater than far, then obviously then you wouldn't be able to take an action. When it comes to turn order, again, this is nice and easy. Heroes always act first, one in any order they want, and once they've acted, then the monsters act. The only time this will change is if they are surprised. When it comes to hit points, you don't get a great big pile of hit points. You get 3 strikes. That's it. 3 strikes and you're out. And you can recover your strikes by healing, whether it's be natural abilities or through potions or through magic. It doesn't matter what weapon you're armed with. If you hit, one hit, it causes one strike of damage. The only thing that causes more than one hit are big weapons, so you're thinking of things like your basilisks, your ballistas, or your catapults, stuff like that. Now, I said crits are slightly different in combat, and so they are. If you roll a 6 in combat, then you re-roll the 6, and any further 6s add an extra strike. And of course, by spending karma, you can take a normal hit up to a crit. So you roll a 5 and a 4, spend one karma to get up to 6, it's a crit, and then you can re-roll that 6 and see if you can get another 6 to increase the number of strikes. When it comes to armor, if you're wearing armor, for each strike you take, you make an armor save, and this is a depending on whether it's light, medium, or heavy damage, is what your target number is for your save. The other save you've got is called a miraculous save, and this is for things when armor won't help you, so that you're falling from a tree, or there's a landslide, or you've imbued some poison, then you can make a miraculous save instead. There are two types of magic in the game, magic spells, and you can call on miracles. Now, there is no spell list. There are circles of magic for the magic users, and basically it's freeform spell casting. So when you prepare the spell and you tell the GM what you intend to do with the magic, and if you're a magic user, it must follow the one of your circles of magic. The GM will decide what the resistance is going to be on how you describe the spell, and will roll a number of d6 to set the target number. This may be as low as 1, and it could be to be many dice if a bigger effect you're trying to impress on them. Once they've rolled those dice, they pick the highest number, and this is the target number. And as the magic user, you can power the spell up, and you choose to roll 1, 2, or 3 dice to meet or beat the target number set by the rabble rouser. The more dice you roll, the better chance you've got of succeeding, you would have thought, and you are right. However, if any of the dice you roll are a 1, the whole spell fails. So if you're rolling 3 dice, you're more likely to roll a 1. It doesn't matter if you rolled 2 sixes, you rolled a 1, the spell fails. You can't spend karma to increase it from a 1, however you can spend your hero dice to re-roll it. Or the other thing a magician can do is they can take a strike from themselves to force the spell to succeed. So you rolled a 1, take 1 strike, and the spell goes ahead. However, you've only got 3 strikes to start with, so you ain't going to be doing that often. You can attack up to 6 enemies with a spell, but for each enemy you attack, the rabble rouser gets to throw an extra dice. You also have some spells that have to be anchored, this is your concentration, and they may remain in effect while you are concentrating or anchoring it. If you take a strike, you fall or get knocked unconscious, then that's, or cast another spell, then that spell would cease. And there is some negotiation here between the GM and the rabble rouser for these spells. When it comes to casting scrolls, scrolls are more reliable than magic, and they always cast at a preset level of 2 dice, and ones are always re-rolled, so you never roll a 1 when you're casting from a scroll. Only conjurers, hedge wizards, and skulls can use scrolls. When it comes to miracles, these are only slightly different. So for a devout character to cast a miracle, they must ask a favour of their patron. And they roll up to 3 dice, like a conjurer, but instead of the power level, this is represents the urgency of your prayer to your devout your divine patron. And you must equal or beat the aloofness roll of the deity to petition for a miracle, and it's up to the GM to set the number of dice rolled. Miracles can only be asked for once per situation, since the gods can be arrogant. So as a miracle worker, you are not going to be casting multiple miracles in a scene. You get your one chance in a scene, and that is it. Rolling a 1 automatically ends your chance of a miracle. However, like Spellburn, for conjurers, offerings can be made to your deity to get around them, and that is up for you and the rabble rouser to decide. When it comes to money tracking, there is none. It's all set on wealth levels. Because in historical fiction, characters never talk about the money. They talk whether they're rich or whether they're a pauper, and it's exactly the same in EZD6. So the wealth levels are pauper, cash poor, moderate wealthy, lordly wealthy, and kingly wealthy. And depending on your wealth level, it tells you a brief description of the sort of things you can get hold of without any trouble. So if you're cash poor, you can afford food and simple clothing, but little else. So you're going to have to get yourself some more cash, and your wealth levels can go up and down as the game progresses. So let's have a look at character creation. So there are several steps. You choose your hero path, you choose a species, you choose inclination, create two aspects, and if a conjurer, you choose a circle of sorcery, and then choose your equipment. There are a number of hero paths that you can choose from. There is Warrior, Warden, Delver, Brute, Rascal, Conjurer, Friar, Gold, and Beastmaster. Each of these gets a one-line description of what they are. It tells you how many strikes they have, what armor they are allowed to wear, what their miraculous save is, what their boons are for, and then usually two or three special abilities. So let's have a look at a Skuld. They get three strikes, they can wear medium armor, so they can save versus wounds on a 5+. When it comes to their miraculous save, their miraculous save is 5+. And they get boons for lore tests and performances. They have three special abilities: Scroll Master, they can cast magic from scrolls and start with two random ones. They are a Traveler, so they can pick a skill and they gain a boon in that ability. And they have Strands of Fate. And as one of Solidity Omens, you have the ability to manipulate luck in favour of the party. Party members can use karma against the Rebel Rouser when you are near, subtracting each karma spent on the Rebel Rouser rolls. When it comes to species, the species in the core rulebook are Human, Elf, Dwarf, Halfling and Goblin. All but Human have special abilities, but Human gets a third inclination. When it comes to inclinations, humans get three, all other species get two. And these are a list of special abilities, which gives you extra karma, extra hero coins, special abilities, things like attuned, you can blind fight, escape areas of obscured vision that can be followed the direction of others. Born Blessed, you start each session with 6 karma instead of 3. And there's a few pages of extra ones, like Sneaky, you have a boon in hiding and moving around unseen. Then you create two aspects. Aspects are single line descriptions of which describe your history or your physical trait or mannerisms. So you can maybe you're a perfume collector or a champion gladiator, a light sleeper. And basically you gain a boon to a roll that pertains to any of your aspects. There are several circles of sorcery, and when you cast your spells, they must be contained within that circle. So for example, you've got Arcane Bands. So strands of magical energy whip out from the caster like long tentacles and can be used to move objects or grapple enemies. Moving or grappling a man is easy. Something as large as an elephant on multiple targets is harder. Anything near the conjurer can be reached. Maintain the anchor to sustain the bands. Those ensnared can try to break free as a turn action on a roll of 6. So that is one of your circles. The other circles you've got are Blastmaster, which gives you raw energy. Botanicalist, which allows you to control plants and use plant life. Elementalist, and you pick one of the elements, fire, earth, air and water. Illusionist, you can use the mind of others as your canvas, projecting into thought your thoughts and images into thoughts of others. A necromancer, and these powers focus on undeath. A seer, by entering a trance you can predict future events or divine the best course of action. Shadowweaver. You have an affinity for manipulating the stuff of shadows and darkness. And Shapeshifter. You shapeshift to any natural animal that exists in the world, providing you've seen it. So those are your circles of sorcery. When it comes to equipment, you can only wear armor equal to your initial class. If you wear a heavier armor than your class specifies, then for each level above your armor class, then you get one boon to all dice rolls. You decide on your weapons, because all weapons cost a strike, so it's all for flavor. And then you roll onto some tables. There is no encumbrance limit. You just use common sense to what characters can carry. So you have you roll a d4 and a d6 for each category. The d4 says which of the four tables you roll on, and the d6 is the result of each of those tables. So you have a table for common gear, which are things like poles, water skins, flint and steel, and a table for speciality gear, which are things like smelling salts, bone dice, caltrops, that sort of thing. There's a list of transport, and then we get on to the rabble-rousing section. Now, in the rabble-rousing section, Scotty then talks about how to be a good GM. Your standard GM advice of things that have worked for him over the years. the sorts of things you should have with you to play the game. How to use miniatures and terrain. And you know, use generic terrain if you're going to use terrain, so you can use it over and over again. Don't build everything. If you want to use imagination, use your imagination. How to encourage your friends to play EDD6. And then some ideas for long-term rewards. So giving your heroes extra wealth, giving them magic weapons, maybe giving them a chance to train in certain skills to give them boons. Ideas for how to set the action target number. Now when it comes to the monster section, there are 40 monsters in the book, 20 of your standard fantasy monsters, and 20 that have been made up by Scotty and are completely unique. Your standard monsters are things like giants, gargoyles, skeletons, and raids. Each one of the monsters has the number of strikes that it takes to kill them, what the target number is to hit them. Most are in the 3 to 5 range. And their special abilities. So for example, a skeleton has one attack. They are brittle and shatter if hit. The parts continue fighting, free attack if destroyed near an enemy. They are mindless, mind powers are useless on skeletons, and they need no sustenance, sleep or air. So I said there's 20 of your standard ones, and then there's 20 that have been created by Scotty himself. And these are unique creatures, and they usually have a 2 or 3 paragraphs describing a bit about the creature, and they're a nice welcome to any bestiary. Then we have a whole section on magic treasures, and these are groups of scrolls, potions, magic weapons that you can roll on. What I found interesting with all the scrolls have a name of a person on, so it's not just a death wish, it's Zar's death wish. It's not just a spiritual, it's Melina's spiritual. So this gives you a person's name, maybe it's the person that invented it, maybe it's the person it's tried out on, but it also gives you some scope for adding that person to your game. As I said, there's a list of potions, of jewellery, trinkets, melee weapons and range weapons, unusual treasures, armour, with some tables at the back for these to roll on, with item properties. And then the book finishes off with a quick reference sheet, which gives you the main core of the rules over several pages, which is really handy, right at the back, so you can just flip to them. And it ends off with a character sheet at the back. However, I did notice that the miraculous save has been missed off the character sheet, and this was I think this is going to be addressed in a future PDF. So that is EDD6. What do I think of it? I think it is I know it's a well-tested game, because Scotty has been testing this game for several years now, going around conventions, playing online. The reports I've heard back from people involved in the games are it's very fast-flowing. We obviously need a GM that's on board with this, and you need players that are quite happy to take this on board. So it's all about fast, furious fun. And I think it delivers on what it set out to be. If you want a game with lots of crunch, not for you. Need it with specific rules and set magic, not for you. But if you want a game that you can just lob out the book to the table and get up and running in minutes, then this is for you. It's quick. You don't have to refer to the rules. It's rolling D6s, beating a target number. Very simple. And I think this is one of the staples that will be in my bag if I'm going somewhere with the next card RPG and maybe something Into the Odd. You've got it there. You can just whip it out at a moment's notice and get up and running. So for me, Easy D6, I think, is for the price, I think it's a good buy. Not more I can say about it, really. Thanks all for listening, and I'll catch you all on the flip side.